have been doing names of Jesus, but I'm just going to do something slightly different today. In Proverbs 12:25, it says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. And anxiety, worry, concern, whatever we want to call it, when it gets to a certain level, can weigh us down, can't it? It can drag us back. It can take over us. And I'll just tell a little, most of you, I think, know that our house, we had a sort of little mini flood in it. So I'll tell you the story again, because I'm just going to use that. So going back a couple of months when we had that really cold spell, I came down Saturday morning, ready to go out. It was probably about, 7 o'clock in the morning or something around there, 6:30. And I could hear all this noise, and I walk towards the kitchen, and where all the lights are like that, see each one of these lights? Say those were our kitchen. We have a lot of little light holes like those. Each one had a whole water pouring through each one. So in this room, all these lights would just be gushing water, would be coming down through all these light holes. So it was just like a waterfall, a shower. The whole kitchen was a shower. Everywhere was pouring in. It wasn't, and it was running down the walls too. So you had water running down the walls, water running down the middle. So it was just like a full room was a shower. And you come in and you go, wow. Oh, what do you do? And I thought, oh. So first job, I go and switch the water off. But it's still pouring through because it's all, there's probably a couple of inches of it in the attic. So it's not stopped. It doesn't suddenly switch the tap off and it stops. It's going to run for 2 hours, just keep running through the ceiling, see? The actual water stopped flowing, but it's running through the ceiling still because there's a big pool up above. And I think, I'd better tell Viv. I thought of tackling it myself, but I looked at it all and I thought, this is an awful lot to do. I don't think I'm going to get there. So I said, you better come down and have a look at this. She comes down, flood. So I just said, all right, let's get the mop. And then we got the mop bucket and sponges. And we just set about mopping up. And I think I'd woken Rue by then because I had to switch the water off and Rue came along. And so I was using the mop and bucket. And then after we cleared there was a kitchen and this little dining area. The dining area had seemed to have the worst of the water. It had flown, it must have been slightly lower or something, and it had run into there. so I started mopping up in the kitchen. And after about an hour of mopping, I got most of the kitchen done, and I was into the dining room. And I was in my bare feet doing this, mopping in the morning. Ice cold water, and I thought, and it was quite nice to stand on the bit of carpet that we had in the dining room because it was a little bit warmer than standing on the whatever the floor was, laminate flooring. So I was in my bare feet mopping away, and I said to and then they'd got buckets. I said, get some buckets and we'll collect the water that's running through the ceiling, so it wasn't adding to the water. So that was one of the first jobs we did, collecting the water. So we kind of went about it quite methodically, and after a good couple of hours, we more or less got the water cleared up. Except for it was still dripping through the roof, see? So we still had the buckets dripping through the roof. And then we'd go and empty one of those ever so often. And then, so it wasn't looking bad then. And we rolled up the carpet. And that was amazing how much water that held. Because when I lifted the carpet to carry it out, this whole stream sort of flowed out of it. I took the carpet and stood it on its end outside. And that just drained. That could start draining, and then we could finish mopping that bit up. But it didn't look too bad once we'd mopped up. Didn't look too bad. We actually, by I don't know what time, we got the electrics back on because we'd had all the fuse out and everything shut off. And we went through all the fuses, seeing which one was going to shut it off, trip it up. So we did that. We got We managed to get the internet going and TV and stuff working, and the lights, I think we didn't get. It was certain things that we didn't get working and certain things that we did. So we were kind of back to normal. Quite reasonable time. It didn't look too bad. And we got to the point where, you know, the plug started to work. We had most things working, back to normal. And we were thinking, yeah, it's not good. What was like a shock to start with? Of course, then you start to find, we saw some evidence of, like, when I got my, not that bag, I got my Alpha bag, the water had sort of, you know, sitting in a pool of an inch of water, and I get to my leaflets, my Alpha leaflets and my books, and they'd all just got soggy, so they're all like boards now anyway. So you start to discover the things that have got damaged in time. At first you don't know what's damaged, you know. Thankfully we hadn't left any electronic stuff on the table, because that would have just been soaked. For some reason nothing was left around, no phones, and nothing got damaged. There was very little stuff got damaged, except for the floor and the ceiling. And then later on in the afternoon, I had to climb up in the attic. And we have a funny attic. It's got like two levels. So I was kind of crawling around in about 2 foot of space, trying to, like, I was working really awkward in a sort of tight space, getting the soggy insulation. And it was like every time you'd lift the soggy bit up, it's heavy, you'd lift a bit, and then all this water would run like a big soggy sponge, and I was squeezing it into a bucket in the attic in this tiny space about this big, lying there, contortionist, putting it in a bucket. No, I was squeezing the water into the bucket and then dropping a bit into the bag and move along a bit, get a bit up, squeeze it into the bucket, and then get a sponge. And I was working through the attic like this for a few hours, just sort of lying down on the things, cleaning up. Till I got rid of what I thought was most of the soggy insulation. So we haven't got much insulation up there now. There is some, but you could feel the difference. To get rid of the worst of the soggy stuff. And you think, oh good, that's that done. But after a little while, so we kind of, as we say, we were reasonably back to normal. And but you look a day or two later and you can see that some water has got into the laminate. So it had sort of started to swell up. And then after a little bit more time, you could see in a corner of the roof all this sort of mould appear along one corner. And I guess that's a little bit that I never got to when I was crawling around in the attic. A bit of soggy insulation just kept it wet up there in the corner. And so just about a little tiny bit of mould where it probably stayed wet. But the rest of it dried out quite well. But one bit that I must have missed, I guess. I haven't been up to check it because it's probably reasonably okay now. And so you start to see the longer term damage that may have been caused. Then we got an engineer to come in, because actually we could have lived with a lot of that floor as it was. Oh yeah, we could live with it. And he goes, well, actually you probably need to pull all this laminate floor up, because we don't know how much water's got under. And all the time that sits there, the water could stay under there, and it could be long term damage. You could have it swell up. It could go mouldy, it could go damp, you could smell it, you know. And to let it dry out properly, you'd need to get it up to let the air get in and to let it dry out. And we'd borrowed Kevin and Rachel's dehumidifier earlier on, and we were pumping the air, the water out of the atmosphere. So we did what we could. But he said, he went around and checked. He said, oh, that floor will have to come up. Which is a shame, because we were thinking, we kind of half rescued it, but he said, oh, you need to, because you can't see what's underneath. So, and then one day, so he, you know, and, you know, we live in a comfortable society in some senses, because we have insurance. So really, I could be sort of stressing about it, but at the end of the day, the insurance is going to take the burden, isn't it? The insurance is going to come. I'm not like, and even if it had been our cost, we'd just have to face it. But the insurance, so these men come in And they, I've just got to do grab my first little prop.
So they get their bag, and they get their bag like this, and they fill it up with my floor.
And it's a big bag like that, and that, I've got a big bag like that outside the house now with what was my floor. And it's sitting outside. I think we've got, there it is, up there. That's it. And that's my floor now. And it's out the front there, ready to go. And it's all, some of it's probably okay. Most of it's not bad, actually. Some of it's damaged. And it's sitting there waiting to be collected and taken away. But we're reminded of it every time we go out because it sat out the front there. And it, as I see that, this big bag waiting to go, it reminded me of the testimony that we had last week, where the young man who was from Holland, and he said, you know, that he had various things going on in his life that he tried to deal with them himself. And they were these difficulties that he was trying to resolve in his own strength. And he got lower and lower to the point where he had to give it over to Jesus. He had to give it over. And it reminded me, I went home and I thought about it and I see this bag of stuff, and I thought about it. And you know, the damage, if I, the floor was damaged, it leaked, the ceiling's damaged, the bits and pieces damaged. Now, I could blame myself. You know, or if I had gone up there, maybe I could have found that problem before it happened. I could blame perhaps the person who installed the plumbing, because perhaps they should have, you know, done something to make it more weatherproof. I could blame God because he brought the cold weather, couldn't I? I could blame any of those three, couldn't I? And we do that, don't we? We want to blame some. I don't know sometimes why we want to blame someone. We want an answer. Why did it happen? I blame God, or I can blame the plumber, or I can blame myself. Does it help? It could. How can it help? It can help. Why do we need the answer? But does it take the problem away? It doesn't actually resolve the problem, does it? If I said, oh God, why did you do that? Why did you bring that cold weather to Britain? I mean, because it's winter time and the weather changes and it happened to come this way. And we had warning that the cold weather was coming from about a week beforehand, you know. If I blame the plumber who installed it maybe 10 years ago, does that bring me some satisfaction for blaming the plumber? Perhaps it does. Oh, plumber's fault. Why did he do that? Oh, look at what's there. But does it resolve the problem? It doesn't actually going to help me any right now. It might make me feel a bit better inside. It might not. It might make me angry inside when I think about it. Or I could think, oh, why didn't I get up there and spot that problem? Da, da, da. But it hasn't happened for 10 years, so why would I suddenly go looking for a potential problem that hasn't happened for 10 years? Do you see what I mean? So we can go around in circles with this problem that happened. And as I think about it, you know, sometimes we can have that problem and we can get the problem. I could go out there and look at the bits of it. Oh, if only it hadn't flooded, I wouldn't have had. And you can start rummaging through our problem, can't we? We can rummage back through it. Oh, why did it happen? Look at that floor. It was all right. Most of that was, you know, 90% of that floor was okay. And look at it, it's all in this bag. I've got my problem with me. And I'm going to have a little rummage through it ever so often, because it really annoys me that I've got this, and the whys. And, do you know, if I'd done something about it, I could have solved that, and I wouldn't have all this hassle. So, and we rummage through it, in my big bag of trouble that I'm rummaging through all the time. Guilt. I've got my guilt. Oh, why didn't I do something? Or shame. Look at me with my big problem. And, you know, getting the why and the who's can resolve it, but we all have burdens that we can be carrying around with us. You know, we can all have a bag, a burden of things that are bothering us. And, you know, with those burdens can come guilt. We carry the guilt around with us. Oh, why did I do that? Why, if only, oh, guilt. Shame. Oh, I'm so ashamed of what I've done. You know, I did that, and we got that shame. Regret. I carry this bag of regret around with me. And the what ifs, oh, if only I had. And you know what? They may be small, your worries. I just got to get something else. Yeah?
It's called Bible.
We carry all this stuff with us, and we rummage through it, and we like to get our bag out of burdensomeness. We drag around with us. And ever so often, we like to get our bag and have a little rummage through my floor. Oh, why didn't I fix that? And off we go. Dragging it around with us. A burden. Oh, take my floor with me. Oh, I'm going to look at it again. Oh, yeah, that floor. It was all right, actually. It cost a bit. Oh, that cost me money, that man. Oh, let me take my floor with me. Oh, who caused this problem for me? Let me have a look. Hey, you never know, it could come in handy one day. A bit of old flooring. I'll take that with me. I'm getting quite attached to my old floor. It's quite handy. Oh, yeah. I'll keep that. I never know when it'd come in handy, a bit of old laminate flooring. I'll hang on to my bag and rummage through it, because that's my bag of. Well, it's part of me now. And we carry some of this stuff with us. And we all carry some stuff with us, don't we? And we can get attached to it. And I'm just going to read a bit of a verse here when I find it. I've got a few scriptures about our burdens and stuff. Do not store up for yourselves treasures. We've heard a bit about this, haven't we? Taking our gold slab to heaven, and it's a paving slab. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy. Oh, my floor was so lovely once. In fact, when I first had it put down, I didn't even want to walk on it. It's true. Why do you want to walk on a floor? It's too nice to walk on. And where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Interesting. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. It's easy to say, isn't it? What you will eat or drink, or about your body. What you will what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow and reap or store away in barns, And yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? So, you know, worrying, does it help? Oh, if only I knew who'd blame for my bag of broken flooring. Oh, that'll solve the problem. Yeah, it was the cold weather. But it's still damaged, isn't it? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And, you know, like I say, thankfully we've got insurance, which will help us out. But even if we didn't, how much, by worrying about it, would it actually help the floor? See, it won't help. Oh, I'm going to worry about that. Let me have a look at my... Oh, look at it. Oh, it doesn't make a new floor appear. Now, we all have... But I think when we give it to God, and when we start to bring God into the whole equation, our priorities change. And our understanding changes. So it doesn't take the problem away. It doesn't... Oh, that problem... You know, sometimes we think, oh no, if when I become a Christian, all my problems disappear. Well, they don't disappear, but our priorities change. So suddenly that flaw isn't such a big issue anymore. It's a flaw. And it's not my pride and joy anymore. It's a flaw that I walk on. And I think God changes. So when we need something, he can supply it. But we might learn we don't actually need it anymore. Because what we think is a need is a want. So sometimes it's just a realigning of our mind and the priority changes so that we're not sort of so desperate for that thing. So God's not saying that these things are unimportant. The things that bother you, he doesn't say they're not important. But our priorities start to change, and then he'll give you what you need. And actually, you'll say, I'm happy with that. Instead of saying, oh, I don't think much of that flooring. You start to appreciate what God gives you. And then you value it more. And then you become appreciative and become more thankful to God. And it's a nice spiral upwards, instead of becoming negative about everything. So as our priorities change and the kingdom becomes more important and God's purposes become more important and eternal destiny becomes more important, my flaw becomes a bit less important. And that flaw doesn't dominate my life, and I kind of think about that flaw all the time. See, I'm thinking, oh, that flaw. See, that could dominate all my thoughts. And you think, that's what my life has become, thinking about my flaw. How sad is that? It's a real sad thought that your life could be dominated by your flaw. Oh, what are you? I'm the person who worries about my flaw. Oh, that's great. What a sad person you are. That's all you're thinking about is your flaw. You know, yeah, my flaw. That's what I live for, my flaw. Can't wait to have my new floor. And that's what, if you think about what the things that become important to us, that's what they become, our burdens, our worries, that's what we become. And God is saying, oh, there's a whole world out there. Not only a world, there's a destiny and a future and an eternity. And you're worried about your flaw. And so, you know, he changes the way we think. But he knows that these things bother us. He knows that they bother us. He doesn't say, it's nonsense. He'll say, but don't let it take over your life. Don't become the person of the flaw. Let the flaw become part that you'll sort out in time. But it's not the be all and end all. Your ceiling is not the be all and end all. Don't let that dominate your life. And we can burden ourselves on depending on our mindset. Little things. I've got another bag, a smaller bag. So yours might not be a big flaw like that. But you might have this bag. That's not so bad. I've got my little burden to carry around. It's a shopping bag. But you can be worried about something smaller. Well, God doesn't say that's unimportant, but don't let that bag of whatever dominate your life. If that's going to dominate your life and you're going to be the person of the smaller bag, God knows what you need. That's what Jesus said, you know. He knows what you need. He knows what the birds need. He knows what the flowers need. He knows what you need. It's important to him as it is important to you, but don't let it become the everything to you. The thing that's going to dominate my mind. I can't think about anything bar this. This burden that I'm going to carry around. It's maybe not a flaw. Oh, this might be my wet insulation. It might be something else. I don't know what. We all have things that dominate our minds. That worry us, that get us down. Or things that we've done in the past that we carry with us. That burden us, that we think they're going to hold me back. It might not be material things like this, but it might be things that you've done from the past that are just clawing at you. Oh, I did that. You know, I did that to so-and-so. And, oh, I did this to myself 20 years ago, you know, and I just can't get beyond it. That's, I've got to carry this around. It's heavy as well. And, I can't hardly move because it's so heavy. That thing I did 20 years ago, it's killing me, but I carry it around with me. Do you know, when the Jews, they used to make lots of rules for themselves. They prided themselves in their rules. They made up rules on rules. And, you know, on a Sunday, well, it's not Sunday, it was a Sabbath, they had rules that this is how far you could walk. I don't know how far it was, but it might be something like 100 metres. They had other rules, how far you could carry a bag. If you were allowed to carry a bag. You know when Jesus says, take up your mat and walk? He was breaking their rules because they weren't allowed to carry their mat. They had rules about what they could carry. I visited a mosque once, and you know the guy, one of the guys at this mosque, he was so proud of all the rules. When I get up in the morning, I must put, I don't know which foot down first. You have to put a certain foot down first. When I step over the doorway, I must put this foot in first or that foot in first. And I had rules for everything. Everything was had rules for everything, which he thought was marvellous. What a burden to carry around, all those rules. God doesn't want you to have all a set of rules to live by. Yeah, right. When you walk out that door, you've got to put your left foot out first. If you don't put your left foot out first, you're cursed from God or something like that. Yeah? Why would you have that? And all made up rules. And if you do keep those rules, you'll be pleasing God. That's what they thought. See, I can satisfy God by putting my left foot out first or my right foot out first. If I put my left foot down first or my right foot down, God will be pleased with me. You see? That's what sometimes the burden that they put on, they had a religious burden they put on themselves. God doesn't want us to be burdened to be trying to satisfy him. It's a kind of odd relationship. You know, if I was walking on eggshells to keep Viv happy, it's a funny sort of relationship. Sometimes, you know, when you're in a relationship, you might have to walk on a few eggshells. But it's not about living the whole life about that. There's something broken down, isn't there? You think there's something broken down in a relationship when you find it really impossible to interact. And God doesn't think of a relationship like that. It's not about lots of rules and a burdensome thing. And, you know, that man at the mosque, I just thought, you know, he's just like the Pharisees of the Bible that Jesus met. They just loved their rules. And Jesus went round. It was there. He didn't. Do you know Jesus kept the law of Moses? But their rules, he didn't bother with, because they were all man-made, added-on rules. So Jesus kept all the law of Moses. But their rules, he thought, and do you know what it says? Jesus said this. He said about the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. They say, you know what? If you want to please God, you see this? Fill that up with bricks and carry that around. Yeah? You please God by doing that. That sort of thing. And then they'd be like, oh, I'm pleasing God. And God's looking like thinking, you're not pleasing me at all. Why are you doing that? That's what they thought. They thought, if I can give you more rules, you'd be pleasing God. Jesus came along and told them straight. He said, you make life hard for them. And what does Jesus' response to all this burdens and heaviness? I've got a whole pile of verses for you, and then I shall finish. Well, in Hebrews, it's not Jesus' words, but it's the advice given to us. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Don't be carrying all that stuff. We've got a job to do. Don't be carrying heavy weights. You know, if you've got a long bike ride to do, you don't want to be carrying more than you need, or a long walk. I remember, you know, in the past we did some long walks from Brighton, and the boys used to, they'd enjoy sort of sticking up. If they could pop a rock in someone else's rucksack, make them carry that rucksack 10 miles with a few extra rocks that they didn't need, bit of fun. But actually, what's the point of carrying stuff you don't need when you don't need to? And doing stuff that's unnecessary isn't pleasing to God. It doesn't help us. And you know, when we're carrying burdens, and it can make us feel, you know, weighed down. It says in that proverb, you know, you feel weighed down, you feel stressed, unsatisfied, unfulfilled, inadequate, poor mental health issues, because you're carrying stuff down that doesn't have an answer necessarily. Well, who can I blame? But what does Jesus say? Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That was a nice response, isn't it? Rather than saying, come to me, and I'm going to put some bricks in that for you, carry that around, Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary and burdened. You know, you're carrying stress around. You've got worries. You've got guilt. You've got hurts. Past problems that you just go back to all the time. And I will give you rest. What a lovely place to be when your mind is at peace and at rest. That's what he's saying. That thing that's turmoil in your head, that goes on, and that guilt and that worry and that stress and that thing that's going on in your head that you think, oh, wow, that thing that happened in the past. And he says, I can give you rest from that. I can just give you peace. Take that away. That's not important to me. That doesn't have to be important to you either. That can be of the past. That's what Jesus says. I want to rest your body. I want to rest your soul. I want to rest your spirit, your mind. I want you to be in a place of peace. Isn't that a good place to be? Yeah? That thing that you did in the past that always comes round to get you. Why is that? Why are you carrying it? Come to me. That trying to please God in a way that you can't manage. Jesus gives forgiveness. He gives understanding. He gives perspective. He gives priority. He gives you worth. He gives you value. You know, you're not worthless. He counts you as valuable. Because of that thing you did, he says, that's so unimportant to me. You are important to me. He says, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Is that nice?
So, I thought this might be. He has a little bag, and in it it's got food, it's got bread and water. You know when you're doing a hike, and you walk a long way, and he's carrying this bag, and he goes, and you're walking along with him, and you're tired, and you're hungry, and he goes, yeah, have a look in there. You open the bag up. Oh, food, sandwiches. Oh, drink, lovely. Have some of that, he says. Take my burden and have a look in there. Have some of that. That's how I pictured it, rather than him carrying. You know, if I was walking with the kids, I'd probably be carrying something like this. And then you're weary, you've done sort of a few miles, you've done 10 miles. Kids. have some of that, boys. I remember once me and Ed, we walked up this mountain and pouring with rain, we had an umbrella with us. You can we'll have a picnic under the umbrella. So, but that's what he does to us. He says, he doesn't give us burdensome stuff. He goes, have a look in there, we've got some food, got some stuff to eat. Have some of my bread, have some of my water. That's what he's saying. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You want rest for your souls, don't you? Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. He gives you value, doesn't he? He cares about you. He doesn't want you to be suffering. He wants you to be able to walk with him in a very good, calm place. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He understands. He's like, don't worry about anything. He says, but come and share it with me. Share it with me. What your concerns are about. With thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for the stuff you've given me. Thank you for the wonderful whatever you've given me. You've given me life. You've given me friends. This is bothering me right now. My car's playing up. Whatever. You know? He understands. So if the Son sets you free, you will be made free indeed. Yeah? If the Son sets you free, that's from slavery. That's from slavery. That's the biggest burden you'd have.